busy. We learned as children to stop, look, and listen before we cross a busy street. You have invited us to cross over into the Sabbath place and rest and trust. Help us now to stop, look, and listen to your word, journeying to a place of stillness that is deep within us, a place where our restlessness is calmed and we are at home with you. Amen. The gospel reading for this morning is Mark 4, 35 to 41. Finding calm amidst the storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Herein is good news.
Sleeping like a baby. Isn't that what we all wish for? We sort of look at the baby in the crib or in the car seat and they're just so sound asleep. And we wish that we could have that kind of sleep once again. I don't know, maybe some of you still have it, but I think there's this longing that we have for that. Just totally relaxed, every limb like jelly, not a worry or a thought disturbing that sleep. Just pure sleep. I think that that's what Jesus was like in the boat, asleep in the stern of the boat, so sound asleep that he didn't even notice the wind and the waves that were tossing the boat about or the water that was beginning to fill and swamp the boat. Jesus was asleep, that pure sleep of a baby. So how did he do that? How do you sleep like a baby through the storms and chaos of life? How do you let go and relax into that deep, undisturbed sleep when life is howling and swirling around you, unless you really are a baby? And why is it that babies sleep so deeply? Now, I know all of us have experienced babies that don't sleep deeply. But generally, babies do sleep deeply. Why is that? Well, first of all, it's because their bodies absolutely need that sleep to grow. So it's just a very natural thing. The second reason they can sleep deeply is because they feel safe, protected, and cared for. They don't have to worry because there are adults around them to do the worrying and protecting. The third reason they can sleep so deeply is that they only have one thought or feeling in their mind at a time. Their brain will only allow one thing. So if they're hungry, they're hungry. Nothing else counts. If they're separated from their parents, then the separation's the only thing that counts. And if they're tired, they are tired and they sleep. No lingering thoughts of hunger or separation to disturb them. So just that one thought. But it's as we get older, somewhere around 6 to 8 years of age, that our brains mature and develop this ability to have mixed feelings, to hold two or more thoughts at the same time. And that's when it becomes harder for us to sleep. Some children, now, if they're in a really loving, protected environment and don't have too much sensory overload, will hold on to that pure sleep longer. But naturally, as our brains start to mature, and we can hold on to more than one thought at a time, it can affect our sleep. So we might be excited about something we get to do the next day, or anxious, or scared, or confused. We might be worried about something, about someone we love, or a test that's coming up, or something we have to deal with at work. And it gets harder to sleep, that deep and pure sleep we see so often in babies. But here is Jesus, sound asleep like a baby in the middle of the waves crashing, the wind howling, and the water threatening to swamp the boat. So how did he do that? Is it just a Jesus thing? Now, as I read the story, I think that Jesus expected that his disciples would have learned how to do it from him. When the disciples wake Jesus, he lifts his head, says to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceases and everything is calm, just like that. Then Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And in my imagination, he immediately lays his head down again and returns to that peaceful sleep and to the lovely dreams he was having. But the disciples are sitting there stunned. I imagine someone grabs the bail bucket and starts scooping water out of the boat. And then one of them says, "Who then is this person that even the wind and seas obey him?" Jesus expected that his disciples would be able to do what he did, at least a little bit, that they would be able to find calm in the middle of the storm. High expectations, I think, but it tells us something. This wasn't just a Jesus thing. This was something that he was offering to people who followed his way. When he commands, "Peace, be still," those words are not just to the wind and waves on the Sea of Galilee. They are speaking through the centuries to our hearts and minds. And whatever chaos, good or bad, is swirling around us, "Peace, be still." I hear it said so often, if I could just have a moment of peace, if I could just have that moment of not worrying, if I could just have a moment to myself. We long for it, that calm in the eye of the storm. Now, the storm might be something worrying or terrifying. It might be overwhelming stress or sadness or grief. It might be huge demands at work. Or it might even be something good. Wonderful, happy, enjoyable things can also have a chaotic, demanding energy to them. Whatever the winds that are howling around us and demanding immediate action, we can feel that if we just had that moment of peace, that moment to be still, we could somehow manage. Jesus, would you just speak to the wind and waves in our lives and say, "Peace, be still." There are some tools that have been given us within the Judeo-Christian tradition that can help us find that moment of peace. I'm not promising that you'll immediately sleep like a baby, but these are tools that we can use to find that center of stillness and calm. There's three I'm going to focus on today. There are more, but the breath prayer we've been using, gratitude, and Sabbath are the three I want to point to today. So we're practicing the breath prayer every week right now. People often associate that with Eastern religions and meditative practices, and it is there, but it's also rooted within our Christian tradition, right back to the early part of the tradition. In fact, when Jesus speaks those words in the boat, it can be a breath prayer. Think about it. Peace, be still. Those can become a breath prayer. And as you say it to yourself, you can imagine Jesus lifting his hand towards you, smiling, and saying to you, peace, be still. The breath prayer provides that moment of stillness, that touch of calm. If you can only fit it in once or twice in a moment, it still provides that peace. And if we can do it longer and do it more often, we find ourselves settling more. Our breath is what connects us with God. It was the first gift God gave us, breathing into us the spirit of life. And so when we reconnect with our breath, we reconnect with God, and that moment of peace settles. Gratitude. I just, of course, had to talk about that today as we celebrate Thanksgiving, but it too is a way to that moment of stillness and peace. There are these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, that I find so intriguing. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I can think of lots of circumstances where I haven't felt like giving thanks. Yet, when I pause to do just that, to find something for which to give thanks, it's there. A word that someone has spoken, a loving gesture, a beautiful moment. Pausing to notice something for which to give thanks, even in the midst of the most tragic circumstance, is a moment where we can experience, however fleeting, Jesus speaking to the wind and waves of our lives and saying, peace, be still. Gratitude really is one of those mysterious miracles, a gift from God, a gift of peace. And then a third tool in the midst of the chaos of life, whether it's chaos we welcome or chaos that has come to us unwelcomed. Sabbath. I love the explanation of Sabbath that I've quoted from Marva Dawn right at the beginning of the bulletin. You can take that home to reflect on. But she says, Sabbath ceasing means to cease not only from work itself, but also from the need to accomplish and be productive, from the worry and tension that accompany our modern criterion of efficiency, from our efforts to be in control of our lives as if we were God, from our possessiveness and our enculturation, and finally, from the humdrum and meaninglessness that result when life is pursued without the Lord at the center of it all. Taking time for Sabbath, a break from regular activities and work, has become seen as a waste of time in our culture. We must be accomplishing something. We must not sit around. Why block off time when it can be filled with all the things that need to be done or with more activities that we want to do? But is Sabbath a waste of time? Just because we cease working doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Just because the schedule is empty doesn't mean that something important isn't taking place. Sabbath time, whether it's time we set aside on a Sunday or on a Tuesday or Wednesday or a Saturday, is time when we practice coming to that place of peace in our lives, a place where our trust in God deepens and settles. As Marva Dawn says, it is about ceasing from work, from activities, scheduled appointments, but it is more than that. It is about letting go of the feeling that we need to be productive, that we must be accomplishing something. It is trusting that we have self-worth just by being, without doing something. It is about trusting that the world can get along without us for a block of time. That all will be well if we step back from the managing and planning and doing and organizing for a while. And it is more than that. It is about letting go of our worries, our frustrations, our anger, our own agendas for ourselves and for the world, and trusting that God is the one who holds all of that for us. Sabbath isn't just about clearing a block of time in our schedule. It is more than that. It is our declaration that we trust God, that we trust that God is working in our lives in a ways that can accomplish infinitely more than we can ask for or imagine. Sabbath is a time of letting go of everything so we can find what we long for, that moment when Jesus' words, "Peace, be still," calm the waves and the winds of our lives. Sabbath takes practice, just as breath, prayers, and gratitude take practice. The more space we make for these practices in our lives, the more we see them making a difference for us. But this doesn't need to be an overwhelming addition to the schedules of your lives, one more huge demand in the midst of what is already happening in your life. It is as simple as breathing in and out. It is as simple as saying, "Thank you, God." It is as simple as blocking just a little time and maybe a little more later and a little more longer each week, just to be, just to cease from doing, from accomplishing, from worrying, to breathe, and to say, "Thank you." We may not sleep as deeply as a baby. We do have those mixed feelings in our minds. But we can find those moments when God's peace just washes over us. And for a moment, just for a moment, all is well. Jesus expected that his disciples could have the peace he had. In the Gospel of John, he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And he meant it. Whether it's in the middle of the night when you can't sleep or in the middle of the day when life is overwhelming, pause, breathe, give thanks, and welcome Jesus' words, "Peace, be still." Imagine Jesus' smiling face looking at you, Jesus' loving hand reaching out to you. And know that all shall be well. All shall be well. Because God is at work in ways that are beyond anything we can ask for or imagine. Amen.